a guy sunbathing while his car is driving him down the road in a big glass bubble top car. Hello and welcome to Terrifying Robot Dog, episode 2 for Friday, April 17th, 2015. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we're here to talk about how technology is changing the way we interact with the world. This week, we discuss the impact of driverless vehicles on society. Please stay tuned. Terrifying Robot Dog is next. As the Terrifying Robot listener may know, Google and others are working on self-driving car technology.
Yes, which I personally can't wait for.
I'll bet. You can't drive now at all, right?
No, I can't. I can't see well enough to.
Yeah, so that would be an amazing advancement for you.
Yes, especially in the rural area that we live in. Mm. There's no public transportation that's of any kind of consequence.
Mm. Yeah, so this is related. I recently took an Uber, which I'm sure everyone knows what Uber is, locally, and I love chatting with the drivers because for reasons like the show. And one of the guys was telling me a story about how he has a completely blind customer who he picks up like every day to go on a particular, like whatever their daily commute is or whatever.
Right, right.
And that, I believe it was a guy, the guy that, couldn't see, Uber completely changed his life.
Oh, I can imagine. There are many times I have wished that we had Uber here, but we're just too small a town and like nobody loves us. So,
so imagine, if you will, say, I don't know how, I'm not even going to predict how many years in the future, but if you could, if there were way more Uber cars around, which you could only really happen if they were self-driving,
right?
The effect that would have on public transit, car ownership, all of the legal ramifications of like who's at fault if a self-driving car crashes into some other self-driving car.
Is nobody at fault then?
Right. Is it Toyota?
Does it cancel each other out?
Or Google? Or right. The robots sue each other.
Yeah.
So let's see. So I think the most fun place and easiest way to focus on it is to start in with something like car ownership.
Yeah, because I'm picturing that you could just have just like a roving fleet of cars that just sort of sit in a parking lot when they're not needed and just kind of randomly wander around and pick people up and do their thing. Well, not randomly, be controlled by people.
Hopefully not randomly.
You could just like summon up a vehicle.
Right, like just like Uber, but with no driver, so you could have 10 times more of them on the road. The city could maybe own them instead of owning buses, or they could be bus-sized.
Right, it could be a private company, or it could be owned by the city as part of like the public transportation system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just have like almost like a cell car lot or like a zip car lot that are in various neighborhoods, and mm-hmm. you could have a sort of a combination of zip car and Uber where you open up the zip car app on your phone and say like, hey, I need a car in 3 minutes. And then you could see where they are, see how many were available. And you could schedule it in advance, like every day at 9, I need a car to take me wherever. Once a month, I have to go to the eye doctor or whatever.
I can even see like a neighborhood getting together and buying one of these cars. Like, maybe you have in a suburban neighborhood and you got a bunch of parents there with kids that need to get to practices and all this stuff. And then everybody just says, hey, let's just pool our resources and get a car, and the car can just hang out in the neighborhood. And then whenever someone needs to get a kid somewhere.
Yeah, that sounds nuts, but I could see it happening. Like you could say, a whole bunch of people in the neighborhood, like we're a one car family.
Right.
If once the kids get to that, they're still young. So once they get to that age where we're, soccer momming them around, wouldn't it be cool if instead of that, like us and our neighbors and maybe a couple of other neighbors who had kids at the same age went in on this car, which just, you could just circle the neighborhood. It wouldn't even have to park. Like just circle the neighborhood constantly.
Solar power to just circle the neighborhood.
You never
a little
park.
Wear and tear on the vehicle, but maybe it takes turns each night, like custody. Where's it going to sleep tonight?
Right, right. And that, imagining that the economics are in place that, you have to assume three families buying a car would be cheaper than three families buying three cars.
Yeah.
and you're all off the hook for driving, that would potentially be super amazing. Like that would
be, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. I mean, like I saw an animated GIF online the other day that was a picture of, you know, standstill traffic in New York City. So like here's a block packed with cars front to back. And then it sort of magically disappeared all the cars and it just had the single driver sitting floating in midair. And then it like squished all of the floating drivers up into a corner, the very top corner of the screen, and wrapped them in a bus. It was like this entire traffic jam could be one bus full of people.
Yeah.
So if you imagine, and Uber, in fact, already is working on the software to do this, to have multiple riders that have different pickup and drop off destinations.
And it just works out the best route.
Yeah.
So it's like getting on a school bus.
Right. Yeah. It's rideshare. But right now it's with a physical driver.
Right.
And, you know,
and then so, they have the software that works out the route for the driver.
Right. So, you know, and even Travis Kalanick from Uber, he can't wait for driverless cars. He thinks it's a good 10 years out. He thinks just to get the, not the technology, but to get municipalities to approve the use.
Yeah. And legal issues. Can I just interject here and say, have you seen the prototype driverless car that Google has?
I think I have. It's a Prius, right?
I don't know, but I mean, the one that like actually Google wants to manufacture, it's like this little tiny little electric car. And I love the fact that there's a video. I'll see if I can find it. We can link to it in the show notes. But there's no way to manually drive the car. There's no steering wheel. There's no pedals. And I love that they did that, because then what that does is that prevents like states and municipalities and local governments from saying, okay, you can drive this. You can have this driverless vehicle, but you still have to have a driver's license. Like if you take away every way to manually control the car, that completely eliminates the need for them to require you to have a driver's license to still operate the vehicle, because you know they would.
Yeah, I have not seen that video, so I'm looking forward to it, to seeing that. And it raises the whole, like the whole kind of social custom around, you know, turning 15 and getting your permit and getting all excited about the getting your car. And
yeah, like it's really hard to get your driver's license here now.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's harder than it is in other areas, but you can't just like go and get your permit and then later get your license. They have this all kinds of programs. They have this program in place now where you have to get so many hours driving in different types of conditions before you can get your license.
I mean, the idea of a 16-year-old behind the wheel scares the crap out of me
anyway.
Yeah,
so it does me too. So, I mean, it's a good program and I guess it works. And I, as a parent, I support it. But if I was turning 16, I would be kind of frustrated by it.
Yeah, totally. But so now we were talking earlier about, like, you know, parents in a neighborhood putting kids together in a car and like, you know, and obviously it raises the question, well, would we trust a driverless car with our kid in it?
Right.
And I think that will eventually happen, assuming that the promise of the safety comes true. Mm-hmm. Because they, you know, supposedly they're far, far safer than a regular. I mean, you know, you drive.
Yeah.
Well, you don't, but but I know driving around in the car with like kids in the back and like trying to like reach back there to like give Maggie your bottle or whatever. It's like not a good thing to be doing. Never mind people that are like texting or checking their phone.
Driverless cars aren't going to be texting, or if they are, it's not going to matter.
Yeah, they're not going to be drunk. They're not going to be texting. Yeah, you're right. They will be texting, but it won't matter. So I think that assuming the safety record is like I said, as promised, I don't know why you wouldn't do it.
And if the safety record's good, I'd totally let my kid ride in a driverless car.
Yeah, I'd let my kid ride in a driverless car before I let him ride in a cab.
Yeah, I would too. I'd let him ride in a driverless car before I'd let him ride with a lot of people I know.
Ditto. Totally. So, but speaking of safety, there's this other thing, right? Mm-hmm. If the car is driverless, you don't need a glass windshield because you don't need to see what you're doing.
Oh, that's right. You don't.
Right. So if you
want to look outside, they can. If people want to look outside, they can have a screen.
Mm-hmm. And what that means is that the vehicle itself becomes way more safe. Because
they'd be like little driver armorless cars.
Yeah, little driver armorless.
Armored cars. Yes.
We have a title.
little driverless armored cars. I totally got that backwards, didn't I?
So you could imagine having a car that has no glass, that is solid as a rock all the way around, and basically has like either screens or nothing, or some other.
Right, like a TV to entertain you.
Right, and so now all of a sudden, this is where you can see like Google's motivation, because if now, you know, a driver can't be using their phone while they're driving, but if you don't need to drive, then you can check your phone all day, or you know,
an early start on work.
A million things. It'd be like taking the train. Like I hate driving and I love taking the train.
Yeah.
But the train doesn't come right by my house. So I wonder, I can imagine all sorts of things happening, changing ownership, you know, changing the way that people decide to own cars or share cars, ride sharing. There's like all sorts of, I mean, it's almost impossible to imagine what a city would be like
once the idea really took off.
Once it hit a tipping point, I mean, it would affect absolutely everything in the city. Like I'm thinking about like valet parking. You know, like restaurants that we don't go to because it's too much of a pain to park, or they don't have valet, or people that I know plenty of people in Rhode Island that there's this sort of Rhode Island mentality of like, oh, we don't want to go to downtown. Never go downtown.
Yes. I've noticed that about you guys.
and it's like, right. It's like a half a mile.
Yeah, from where, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, I don't have to park down there and, you know. And it is a little congested, and it's a little bit of a pain. But I mean, if you've ever driven in a big city, it's nothing compared to that.
No,
and
it's not Boston,
right? Or New York, or anything, even Chicago.
Yeah.
So the thing is, I wonder what it would do for. I feel like it would be good for congestion downtown, for businesses downtown. Any, you know, and as we move more and more of the population into cities, which is the trend. Mm-hmm. I feel like it would have a huge beneficial impact on city life for sure. Yeah,
I feel like it would too, but there is a lot of things that's going to shake up. Like it's going to completely, there's going to need, like, if it really took off, there would need to be a large retooling to many sections of the automobile industry. Like you said, due to the increased efficiency, it would probably mean a lower volume of sales.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, potentially it could have some pretty significant changes to like city infrastructure and things too. And like if we have driverless vehicles and they can all sense everything that's going on around them, like do we need traffic lights?
Oh man,
I've seen. Do we need speed limits? Do we need, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen some sick videos where like you basically have a cross street. And the cars are just like zippering, you know, they just don't stop. They just time it so that nobody hits anybody.
Right, right.
And it's like, whoa. I don't
like right. Aside from like needing a crosswalk where the cars would just be like, oh, let's stop. You know, do you need traffic lights and speed limits and all that stuff?
Mm. Oh, man. Yeah, you can see why it's at least 10 years out.
Yeah.
All that stuff is so nuts.
I mean, getting it to that point is way out, because even when driverless cars start to become a thing, there's still going to be a lot of like, regular vehicles on the road for many, many, many years to come.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I was just talking to a Tesla owner, and I was at that talk in Vegas, and they were driving from Colorado to, I guess, Silicon Valley. San Francisco, to do a tour of the Tesla factory. They had this new Tesla and they were testing it out in this long drive to make sure that, you know, to sort of prove that they could make it. And they were telling me the most amazing feature of the car that they told me about, I wasn't aware of, which is that it has smart cruise control. And I don't think it's that unusual, in fact, but it's the first time I've talked to somebody that's used it, where on the highway, you just set the cruise control. And, you know, in our car, when you set the cruise control, it's like pegged at a speed.
Yeah.
And so you get to mess with it if somebody slows down in front of you or whatever. But this doesn't do that. This like is like looking, and it adjusts your speed. You just take your feet off the pedals and it adjusts your speed like appropriately to keep you.
Yeah. I think we drove a rental car with that on it once.
Oh man, that's so cool. So you can imagine, the reason I bring it up is because I can imagine that it will start to become a feature in cars that you can use like just on the highway.
Yeah.
I mean, Lexus has a car that will parallel park by itself.
Ford is working on a car that will force you to obey speed limits.
Really?
Yeah.
That will be a huge hit with parents.
Yes.
That would be the only car I considered buying for Cooper if...
Right. If I know, right? If you forces your 16-year-old to obey the speed limits. Although that said, there are some streets where if you obey the speed limit, you're going to get plastered.
Yeah, that's true. Some of them are too low, but one would like to imagine that those are the same streets that it'd be better to go too slow than too fast.
Yeah. And they're like, when there's like, well, you can override it for short periods of time, like 5 seconds or so. So you can do like interstate on ramps because you need to get up speed and that kind of stuff. But
I don't think this is pie in the sky. I don't think this is jetpack stuff. I think this will happen.
Like, I think we're gonna see a lot more sort of smart features coming into the vehicles that we have now before we get to the point where everything's driverless.
Exactly. Yeah, it'll get to the point where I think it'll happen at the it'll tip when people are like, "Ugh, why do I have to drive?" Yeah. Like, it does everything else.
Like, it already does everything else for me. Why do I have to? Yeah.
Right.
Like, we trust our airplanes to land themselves from 30,000 feet in the air.
Mm.
Why are we questioning whether or not this car can get us to the gas station on the corner?
Right. Right. Yeah, we've already got the GPS. Those streets are all mapped out. Like, if the speed limit feature, I mean, I can't imagine how they're going to do that. There must be, how are they going to do that?
They have a camera that watches for speed limit signs.
Geez, I guess that makes sense.
You know, someone's going to hack it and just like a few inches out from the camera, just tape a sign that looks like a speed limit sign, but it says like 90.
Right. Or like vandals will put a one in front of the 25.
Yeah.
And the car like takes off. Well, dear listener, what would it take for you to trust a driverless car with your kid inside? Do you think that will ever happen?
I think it will.
I would do it. I mean, if I was going to put my kid in a cab, I would never in a million years put my kid in a cab.
No, because then you're like trusting them to a complete stranger.
Never. I would never do that.
Yeah. Like, in that situation, it's not the driving that concerns me. It's the person I don't know.
Right.
And I'm not one of those super paranoid parents.
Not like, me neither, but
I'm pretty quote unquote free range when it comes to parenting, but still.
Well, I think it's going to happen. There was one other article I read that took a different angle on the sort of shared vehicle thing,
mm-hmm.
which was that you wouldn't need to buy a big like RV or something like that. You could just have like three cars that followed you in a formation.
Oh, like your own little private fleet.
Yeah. So you'd say, oh, we're going to go on a cross country trip with the kids and, you know,
everyone link their cars.
Yeah.
Sync your cars.
Yeah. You sync your cars and they just sort of follow you. So you've got the lead car.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe the parents are in there and like the teenagers are in the next car and then the pets are in another one.
Right.
And you've got the tent and other stuff and, you know, in with the pets. And you just like to go off down the road. And then when you get to your spot, yeah, you set up.
And or you're going somewhere with someone and they don't know where you're going, how to get there, but you do.
Oh, that's neat.
It's like, oh, put your car in follow mode and just follow me.
Wild.
Yeah. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, don't go off a cliff.
Then again, if it's a driverless car, you don't need to know where you're going because it's got the GPS and all that. So.
Yeah. I just like it was such a powerful visual to imagine like having like an empty car is following you down the highway.
Your own caravan.
Right. It's like so crazy. Like imagine, that just made me think of like what wouldn't you use a driverless car for? And I was thinking, well, maybe trucks, like delivery trucks. And then I was like, no, that'd be perfect.
Well, why not? It'd be perfect for, yeah.
go to IKEA and they've got those, they have these rental trucks right in the IKEA parking lot that if you can't fit the couch on your car, you can like rent this truck, drive home, drop off the couch, drive all the way back, drop off the truck, pick up your car, drive all the way home. And it's like, right. Well, why not just send the truck to my house? Like, follow me, truck.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then send it back.
Yep.
Oh, that would be great. All right, dear listener, that's our show for this week. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we hope you join us again next week for Terrifying Robot Dog. Bye.
Bye.
If you'd like to receive a weekly email with links we mention in the show, pull out your phone and text FUTURE to 33444, and we'll add your email address to our mailing list. Again, text FUTURE to 33444 to be added to the TRD email list. Terrifying Robot Dog is a spinoff of the Niche podcast, which was a tech show Kelly and I ran for 3 years. Niche was more focused on nuts and bolts of tech, but we did often get into big picture discussions that the Terrifying Robot listener might enjoy. You can check it out at niche.cc.